sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a
deadpan
trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny
podcast.
The mate was a mighty sailing man,
the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a
deadpan
tour of
deadpan
tour. Weather started getting rough, the tiny
podcast
was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew,
the deadpan
would be lost. The
deadpan
would be lost.
The podcast
sunk ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle with
Jack Mangan,
the Energizer Bunny,
to
the Lopan, Nomad Scry,
the
Vanamon,
and the rest are here on
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Hey, welcome to Deadpan number 171. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. a barrel of funky, flying, shocked organ grinder, brass, chunky, half-pony, half-monkeys on your back. In this episode, we're going to have the prominent feature, I guess, will be the 60 Lines Part 2, Lando Strikes Back, wherein over 20 to 25 or so people from the Deadpan community and world all got together and formed Voltron again and put together one communal bit of comedy in one segment. There will also be some follow-up and continuing bits from the good news in episode number 170 and, a whole bunch of other stuff. So just stick it out and enjoy. I'm going to stop this intro babble now and get into, one of the same promos that I've already played like 1,000 fucking times already. Stick it out. Stick with us. You know what I mean. Cough.
My name is Donovan McElroy. I have a question for you. Are you sick of vampire mania yet? I sure hope not, because you see, I'm a vampire. No, I don't sparkle. And no, I'm not older than millennia.
I'm 37, I'm not old!
Yeah, I'm a geek too. I was turned in 1993 by the woman of my dreams, literally. I don't kill people, at least I haven't yet. I don't brood or solve mysteries, but somebody wants me dead. Actually, I guess they succeeded, but I'm feeling much better now. Care to hear more? Then check out lilith-love.com and come listen to Dan Charette podcast My Life Story so far.
Oh my god. What happened to the pants? They're all dead. The pants are dead. I'm stuck with dead pants. Can anybody help me? Jack Mangan, can you help me? Deadpan. Deadpan Podcast. Host Jack Mangan. Yeah.
Before we go any further, we do need to establish that it's pretty common knowledge. Films of the 80s and even early 90s, action films, horror films, there was the cool black guy rule, where the dashing white hero would always have his cool black friend who would always meet his tragic demise in these movies. You know, as our culture kind of grew up and became a little bit more self-aware, we started to recognize this and even started to mock, these 80s and even 90s filmmakers' propensity for following this cool black guy rule. But at this point, it's just cultural common knowledge. It's just known. And not really even a funny meme anymore. It's kind of like, 80s music being guileless and hokey, or Jersey girls having big hair. Or, this thing about white people rapping. You get these Facebook notices from your family or whoever, and you hear about them at the office. You know, there's this hilarious new video you just have to see. There's this bunch of average white guys who all act like rappers. It's just hilarious. The dorky white guys even rap. Of course, it's intentionally bad, but they rap about their bland upper-middle-class lifestyles in ways that are ironically referential to self-conscious posturing braggadocio evident in the majority of contemporary rap songs. Gosh, who could possibly have come up with something so original and funny? And wait, get this, one of the white guys was even wearing a baseball cap tilted sideways. Can you just believe it? Anyway, the cool black guy rule, it did exist in our older action movies, but there you go, cultural pat on our backs that we've moved on, and now in hokey action movies and hokey horror films, it's open season on anyone. Anyway, that will be relevant later.
Hiya, Deadpan. This is Paul Mackey. It's about, let's say, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm on my first day of night shifts, my first night of night shifts. And I just realized that on my phone, like my 5, formerly had the Deadpan as one of the 5, and that got supplanted by the tech support for the printer I was using at the last job. And since that number is entirely useless to me now, the Deadpan is once again one of my 5, as though I ever use enough minutes in general to need 5 in my 5, but whatever. Anyways, happy 4 a.m., yay. Talk to you all later. Bye.
Hello. This is T. Morris. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Yay.
We ran a segment a few months back in episode number 162 that was inaccurately named 60 Lines, dedicated to Wedge Antilles. Since it was a jolly good time for all, we've decided to run a 60 Lines Part 2, Lando Strikes Back. Only this time, we'll try not to go off on tangents. This time, we'll try to
stay on target.
So anyway, thanks to all the volunteers for reading. Really do appreciate you setting aside some time and putting the wonderful effort and gusto, and even in some cases, pulling other members of the household into the act. So I want to thank you guys very, very much for being a part of this. So anyway, 60 Lines Part 2, Lando Strikes Back.
Here goes nothing.
Lando was the smoothest guy in the Star Wars galaxy.
He wore a purple cape, for crying out loud.
I bet Lando's wallet had bad motherfucker written on it.
You know, Martin Lando Calrissian wouldn't have been nearly as suave.
Lando is so badass, he even survived the cool black guy rule.
Unlike Mace Windu.
Motherfucker!
Some would argue that Lando betrayed the rebels to the Empire.
Oh yeah, that asshole!
And this was his loophole for surviving the cool black guy rule.
But he was definitely the second coolest dude in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, because nobody was more pimp than Jabba's Rancor handler.
The Rancor Whisperer?
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Actually, Lando's Asian-looking co-pilot was pretty super fly.
With the two of them, it was like Harold and Kumar blow up the Death Star.
Just with a mildly offensive alien caricature instead of an actual Asian.
That co-pilot guy should have jumped out shirtless with a fencing foil.
How did the rebel leaders pick Lando for that critical job anyway?
Hey, who can we get to fly the super dangerous mission to destroy the new Death Star?
How about that new guy who sold us out to the Empire 2 weeks ago?
You mean the guy who lost the starship in a game of cards? Yeah, he's responsible.
Didn't Admiral Ackbar think it may be a trap?
I'm sure he thought it smelled fishy.
Stay on target!
That Lando's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth!
I'm just talking about Lando.
This discussion just went from Lando to Shaft. You wish you could say hello with even half as much sex appeal as Lando.
Hello? What have we here?
Lando was all set to instruct Leia about the other dark side.
Even Luke couldn't resist hanging on Lando's weather vane.
And the Sarlacc pit was especially sweet on Lando.
It wanted to slip him the tongs.
I'll take good care of her. She won't get a scratch.
George Lucas had issues.
Hey, this is Mike Nelson, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Keep it tuned here.
Congratulations to Jack and Odin. Just had one question. Is Matt Smith going to dance at the wedding?
So, yeah, we were at EVFN, and I saw Jack and Odin walk in, and they went over in the corner and sat with Sheila and Evo, and, you know, the night progressed, and then I went over there to say goodnight, because I was going to go somewhere else, and Jack says, no, sit down, you're part of this. So I sat down, and he started talking about all of Auden's virtues and how wonderful she was. And I said something snarkish because that's how I am. And then I instantly felt mean and horrible. And he just kind of shrugged it off and kept going and talked about how wonderful she was and how she'd made his life so much better. And then it occurred to me what the hell was going on. And just about the same time, he started digging in his pocket for his little box, and it was so adorable, and everybody was holding their breath at the table, and it was the way he said it, it was just kind of led up to it. And so I kind of want you to take this. And Odin like looks at him and says, are you kidding me? And I thought at first it was, are you kidding me, is this real, and do I really want to do this? But it was more like, are you kidding me? Yes, of course. It was sweet, and I'm really happy for him.
Hi, this is Susie from How to Grow Your Geek, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. No, really, you are. I promise.
Could you ever compete with Lando's best pickup line?
Say, baby.
You want to come back to my place?
Oh, my own city in the clouds!
With all kinds of droids and lobots and Ugnaught servants at my command.
And electrical torture devices, if you're into that kind of thing.
The Empire? Nah, I cut a deal with them.
Did I mention that the clouds were pink?
Talk about a love shack.
I got me a Millennium Falcon, and it seats about 20.
What the hell is an Ugnaught, anyways?
Ugh.
Sorry.
Were they just Oompa Loompas gone wrong?
What? So now we're comparing Bespin to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory?
Well, the shaft where Luke fell was a lot like the one where Charlie and Grandpa floated up.
So Luke could have just burped his way to safety?
This discussion just went from Lando to shaft.
Lando really moved on up when he became CEO.
Boss.
President.
Pimp.
Nerf herder.
Hey, boss.
Dictator. Dictator!
Sorry.
Boss.
Manager.
Although for a little while, he got demoted to Darth Vader's assistant manager.
Big geez.
Decider.
Boss, 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 boss!
Foursquare mayor.
Shh. George Lucas.
Of Bespin.
Before taking control of Bespin,
his old neighbor had been a racist droid.
And named R2 Bunker?
And his wife, Edith 3PO. Oh, God.
Boy, the way Sice Noodles played.
Before we got Chewbacca spayed!
Before Luke knocked up Mara Jade.
Those were the days! Luke keeps seeing ghosts of Ben!
Droids were droids and men were men.
Mr. We could use a fish like Admiral Akbar again.
Ain't no who shot first debate.
I made the Ewoks masturbate.
Gee, that Millennium Falcon ran great.
Those were the days.
We were talking about Lobots.
Oh, right. Stay on target.
What's with the male pattern baldness design of the Lobots' electronic headgear?
Was Fazzini from Princess Bride the model for the Lobot apparatus?
Inconceivable.
If Lobots took Rogaine, would computer electronics grow in all over their scalps?
71. Or were they intended to look like robot Picards?
Wait a minute. It all makes sense. Lobots were the first Borgs.
They saw the failure of the Death Star balls and built evil cubes instead.
The Borgs got started a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
And they were all named Bjorn.
And they all had wallets that said, Bad Mother Assimilator.
The Lobots turned Borg held onto at least one other thing from Lando.
His second best pickup line.
Hey, baby. Resistance is futile.
Gene Roddenberry had issues.
And they were all named Bjorn.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Wars! Nothing but Star Wars! Give me the Star Wars!
Up here. And hey, Darth Vader in that black and evil mask, did he scare you as much as he scared me? Star Wars!
So, we're not in this one then?
Nah, our agent thought we were being typecast.
Oh.
Besides, this was a sequel, and you know how those things are. Ick. Yeah, so I'm thinking we just need to wait for 60 Lines Part 3.
Oh, because it'd get better by the third one?
Nah, by then it's good if it's that. It's something called camp.
Oh, I like camping.
Me too! I'll call our agent.
Climb!
Vanamon says, LJ, if your missus had a problem with her feet, would you want a heel, yeah? Jeremy from Seattle says, all is well on the high seas, stop. Farnsworth totes puked all over the Duchess, lol, stop. Saw some icebergs last night and was all, what, WTF, stop. The band Rocks played Blue Danube for us at the ball, stop.
This discussion just went from Lando to Shaft.
The Energizer Bunny says, Lo Pan, stop using the garden hose. There's a water shortage, don't you know? Colon, cheerful, colon. Cheerful, colon. Lo Pan says, yeah, there was really only three more film I want to see in the theater this summer: Predators, Inception, and The Expendables. I missed Splice, which I actually really, really wanted to see. Ed, I had the same trailer experience. It's all just meh. Oh, ditto. All you Americans, you're one of us, ditto. One of us. One of us. One of us. Ellipsis. It's a love affair, mainly Jesus and my hot rod. Reaper says, congrats, CJ, with a bunch of exclamation points. Star, ducks, beam, star. That was close. The first of the week, Nomad Scry said, I feel cold. The first of last week, Vanamon says, Lanfair, Puligwin, Gilgogger, Rykirn, Drobul, Lanceliagagagagach.
That went. Oh, crap. I forgot to hit record. Bloody hell. That was supposed to be Van's longest UK railroad sign, his number one of the week, which is in my mutilated way. Lanvir Pulgin Gilgoger Uquern Drobe Ulandas Ilio Gogogach, which is somewhat comparable to the sort of local Lake Chargaga. Chargaga, Chargagag. Chargagagag, man, chow, gag, gog, chow, bunagun, gamog. That's right. Lake Chargagagag, man, chow, gagog, chow, bunagun, gamog. It's an actual place. I've actually been there for a wedding. So, Jack and Odin, you up for yeah.
So.
Hang on now. Let me make sure that I'm saying this right. Hang on, right. Llanfair Pwll. Like a lot of people just say Llanfair PG.
Yes. Or someone says near Bangor, I think, when the Americans said when he worked in Wales.
Go gerach yn drobwll yn ysiliwch go go goch.
Right.
Go brel, hang on, llan fair pwll gwyngill, go gerach yn drobwll, llan tysiliwch go go goch. Yes, I'm saying it right, go on.
Okay, Karen. Okay, right, I'm going to start now. Right, so...
Just say 1, 2, 3.
Karen, who is from Wales, who speaks Welsh, is now going to say the name of the longest train station in the UK. Take it away, Karen.
Llanfair Pwll Gwyngill, go gerach warn drobwll, llan dysilio, go go goch.
Yes! Thank you.
Happy now?
Isn't that what I said? Alright, so we're not done yet. So next week, it's already recorded, there will be a Wall of Palooza episode where J.R. Murdoch and I discussed Pink Floyd's The Wall and a bunch of things related to that. So if you have anything to add, feel free. As I said, next week I will not actually be doing any recording, but I will be putting out the episode. And speaking of Palooza, that Wall of Palooza is a mini Palooza. The real big deal summer 2010 Palooza voting is out there right now. If you want to vote, the poll will close in the early afternoon on Wednesday of next week. There are a bunch of choices, and we'll all watch one of them on our own, and then come back and give it the old deadpan treatment. All right, if you have anything to say, if you want to send in a dumbass memory or a funny story or tell me the contents of your fridge, then send me an email. My email is sphericaljackm@gmail.com or voicemail it in 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. I actually do have some really good stuff waiting in the wings, including somebody, I believe is their deadpan debut. And I felt a little bit bad, but it just, gonna have to wait till the next real deadpan episode. But anyway, without further ado, this episode right here is not going to end with an original piece of music of mine. It's going to end with three of the Ode NHL Hockey Anthems. Now, you out there, after this episode, if you have not yet turned in your hockey anthem, we're actually going to grant some anthem amnesty here. You're off the hook. Unless you don't want to be off the hook, I'll still gladly take your sung anthems if you'd like. But after this, we're going to call everything a wash. Anyway, there are three of them in tonight, and I hope you enjoy them. And that's going to be the closing music. And you know what? I'm not coming back after the anthems. Again, I want to thank all of you out there, or all of y'all, since I'm in Arizona, all of y'all out there for your support and friendship and for having my back. Deadpan is the motherfucking way. It's a motherfucking community, and it's a motherfucking deadpan army. So the deadpan army stands strong, and enough outro babble. On with the NHL Stanley Cup anthem finale. Maybe. Good night, Bufflin.
Maestro, if you please.
Jack Mangan, you've got your shit together.
Welcome to Canada, it's the Maple Leaf State.
A beautiful sight, we're posting tonight. Walking in a deadpan wonderland.
Jesus Christ.
Finland, Finland, Finland.
Hello there everyone, this is Vanamond, and I owe you a song. Now, I have to confess, when it comes to music, I have no sense of timing. When I'm at a concert and everybody's clapping along with the song, I've got to watch their hands to keep myself in sync when they're clapping. So, let the torture begin. Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you around. I love it. Bet your bottom dollar you'll lose the blues in Chicago. Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. On State Street, that great street, I just want to say, they do things that they don't do on Broadway. They have the time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago. Chicago, my hometown. I think I better stop there.
Here comes the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the heroes, here comes the Hawks. Here comes the Hawks, here comes the Hawks. Here comes the Hawks, take control. There's the shot, and the goal. Here comes
from the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack, yeah, we'll bang you, Blackhawks. You're flying high now, so let's press right on them. Let's go, you Hawks, move off. Now all look out, here come the Hawks. Here come the Hawks, here come the Hawks.
Musical interlude.
Here.
Will this song ever end?
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks.
Yeah, go beat Philadelphia.
Jerome.